Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, April the 30th, 2026. 15 and a half minutes past the hour, last day of April. And of course, April will go out with rain. April showers bring May flowers. Let's see if we have flowers tomorrow on the ground. Kind of a chilly morning here in the Marion area. And as I said, rain, last day of April. May 1st tomorrow. May Day, how about that? Well, you know, it's good to be... Well, we were in the studio yesterday, but we had a very interesting program, to say the least, yesterday, and I hope you got to hear the program. And if you didn't, I hope you get to go back in the archives and hear the program, because longtime legendary Major League Baseball umpire Larry Barnett came in yesterday and essentially announced to the public, I'm sure his friends in private and associates knew that this was the case, but announced to the public that, for the first time, that he has been diagnosed with terminal stage 4 cancer. As he said yesterday, the cancer is in his blood, the cancer is in his bones, and it's in his liver right now. And the doctor has given him 6 months to live. Now, you know, Larry is such a great guy. He truly is. And I have been doing interviews with Larry. We were talking before we went on the air yesterday. I started interviewing him back when I was at WMRN. A matter of fact, I found a picture the other day when he was on Exchange Club with former Governor Jack Gilligan. That picture is probably nearly 20 years old. So he's been coming on at least 20 years with me doing interviews. I never remember Larry saying no. And you know, it's not just that Larry is a legendary umpire, and legendary because of what happened in the 1975 World Series, but Larry is a fun personality. He has a unique way of speaking, he has a unique way of talking. He's just one of a kind, and he's custom made for radio, and he shares his opinion no matter what it is. And we all love that in this business. And for him to come on yesterday, I think he even said, you know, we're going to be talking about essentially an illness that's going to lead me to the end of my life. What kind of conversation is that going to be on the radio? How fun can that be? Well, Larry made it fun yesterday. And I think we got to see what faith is all about for somebody. I think we got to see what courage is. Because when a doctor tells you you've only got 6 months left, you can only have courage if you're getting out of bed and doing things. It was not heavy in here yesterday, because Larry was laughing and telling jokes. You know, only Larry Barnett, only an umpire could say, when I asked him yesterday about the cancer, only he could say, it's in my bones, it's in my blood, it's in my liver, three strikes and you're out. I mean, how many of us could approach something like that? So, you know, the political interviews are fun, and the local interviews are fun, and the celebrity interviews are fun. But it's days like yesterday that you really, essentially, you're telling stories in this job. And I've been doing this job for a long time. And that's what you want to do. You want to tell good stories. Sometimes they're political. Sometimes they're personal. Sometimes they're celebrity-driven. But you want to tell good stories. And yesterday, as sad as it is, it was a good story, because it's a man facing the end of his life with courage and integrity and setting an example for a lot of people who are going through the same thing. And it was just an unbelievable two-hour morning. So I hope you heard the broadcast, and if you didn't hear the broadcast, I hope you go back and listen to it. It was 2 hours long. And you know what? I want to say this. At the end of the interview, when I said, Larry, this isn't going to be the last interview, you're going to come back, he said, let's do it. And I have no doubt in my mind that Larry Barnett will be back on this program sometime in the near future. And we will certainly welcome that. So I just wanted to say that. And by the way, that interview yesterday was all Larry Barnett. All basically I was yesterday was a mic stand. I'm just holding the mic, and he's doing the interview. And I hope you enjoyed it. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it did something for you in some way, but it was an important day, I think for me, and I think everybody involved. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to give us a buzz. Phone lines are open this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It was just an unbelievable morning. So I wanted to start by saying that, because obviously I haven't had a chance to say that anywhere. Then I had another interesting experience yesterday. I was talking with somebody locally. Now here we go to the political. I was talking with somebody locally, and I don't even know how we got on the subject, but this person is an absolute ardent Democrat. No doubt about it, they're a Democrat. They're probably going to vote for 99% Democrats. They might vote for 100% of Democrats. But what they remarked to me, and we weren't even talking about this particular race, and I thought this was fascinating. They said that they thought that the campaign that Ben Weber is running, and they even knew his name, didn't know anything about him. I have no intention to vote for him, but they said the campaign that he is running is one of the best campaigns that they have ever seen. With the signs and the visits to people in people's neighborhoods, the commercials that are being run, how visible and readable his signs are. They just said he is running probably the most effective campaign in this area that anybody is running, local or national, or statewide, I guess I should say. I don't think there's anything national. Well, we've got the Senate race. I guess you can consider that a national office. But they said he is running the most effective campaign in this area. And a lot of people, I don't think, would disagree. Now, this is a Democrat, again, who has no intention of voting for him. But they knew his name. They knew all that because of the work he's done. And that is kind of what I have been trying to say on the air the last couple weeks. I never would have thought, the way that 86th district primary was going, that Ben would have been able to run this effective of a campaign. I don't think Tracy Richardson ran a campaign like this 2 years ago. So it's definitely, the word is circulating. So I wanted to say that. Now, something else I want to talk about, and it's called the gas prices. I think these might be the highest gas prices I have ever seen. Forget about $4. We've been talking about $4 for a while. We're now talking about $5 gas prices. As I went down Route 95 this morning, the Duke Station, or the BP, or whatever you want to call it, on Jamesway on the corner of Jamesway and Route 95, $4.99 gas price this morning. $4.99 a gallon. Now, interestingly enough, the gas station over here by the radio station, $4.65, so it's 35 cents cheaper over here for whatever reason, 34 cents cheaper, just by going less than a mile. But $4.99 a gallon gas prices, nearly $5. Has anybody in this area ever seen $5 gas prices? I mean, that is unbelievable. It's also unbelievable to think that on February 24th, when the State of the Union was given by the president, gas prices were somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.50. Gas prices have almost risen, give or take, 100% in 2 months. That is unbelievable. And I will tell you, people are going to vote on Tuesday, May the 5th, in this primary. And they're going to vote in the fall. And you can talk about policy, and you can talk about who you like and who you don't like, and you can talk about where money comes from and blah, 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 blah. The main thing on people's mind, local, statewide, whatever it is going to be gas prices. You cannot have gas prices at $5 a gallon when they were at $2.50 2 months ago and not have that affect people. I don't know how people are going to travel. You know, travel season's coming up here. Summer break's going to be right around the corner. Probably a month away, Memorial Day, less than a month away. You're going to have Memorial Day coming up. You're going to have the 250th anniversary of this country in July. Big July 4th celebration. You're going to have Labor Day. And if these gas prices don't come down in a month, I don't know what people are going to do. How many people are going to drive to Cedar Point all the time? How many people are going to drive to the zoo from Marion, who a lot of people make that trek a lot? How many people are going to take those big family vacations in those big RVs and big campers? I don't know. $5 a gallon? I mean, that is truly unbelievable. By the way, phone lines are open. We want to talk to you this morning on the toll-free line. That's why we left the phone lines open, because God knows it's been an interesting day or so here. Lots to talk about. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say about the Larry Barnett interview yesterday or the Ben Weber campaign, which again brought to my attention yesterday by somebody who is an adamant Democrat, and gas prices, which have now, I don't think they've topped $5 yet. I haven't looked at every gas station in town, but I certainly did see $4.99 a gallon as I was driving in here this morning. So there we are. Phone lines are open. Feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you. And then, of course, there's a little leftover conversation, Monday night city council meeting. Who's going to fill the 4th Ward City Council seat? I don't know. I guess we'll find out at the next council meeting on May the 11th. If you live in the 4th Ward and would like to fill the seat, I would call the Board of Elections or get in touch with a current city council member. Apparently, party affiliation does not matter at this point because of the way this has been handled. And you've got to wonder what's going on here. The Republicans could have filled this seat. They had 45 days to fill this seat after Twyla Lange resigned in February. And why they didn't fill this seat, I'm not sure. And why it got to city council, I'm not sure. And now it's going to be anybody's ballgame. And I think that's quite interesting, coming up on May the 11th. So that's where we are with the city council seat, which I really think was the big news that came out of Monday night city council meeting. We still haven't heard if the plan for the state, the plan for the city that was sent to the state auditor, financial plan, has been accepted or rejected. I think that's interesting because apparently it was sent to the state somewhere around April the 6th. So we haven't heard much there. And I guess as time goes along, we're eventually going to get the answer to that. But that's a tough situation for everybody who's in the city. Elections now what? 5 days away? Four? No, let's see, five? Just a little over 5 days away. On the Cinco de Mayo, lot of primaries that day. Got a big primary in the 86th district. We've talked about that. Got a big primary for county commissioner here locally. We've talked about that. We've got almost every Republican seat statewide has a primary. We got the gubernatorial primary between Vivek Ramaswamy and Casey Putch. Couple primaries on the Democratic side. I believe one for Secretary of State with Allison Russo and Brian Hambly. And then we've got the one for Attorney General. So next Tuesday night is going to be interesting, and it's also going to tell a tale, I think probably more with the Republican Party than the Democratic Party, but it's going to tell a tale of how bad are these gas prices, the war in Iran, and the way things are going in this country right now, affecting people. Because people tend to blame the party in power. Now, will that be a backlash against the establishment Republicans? I don't know, because I'm not sure that the establishment Republicans are the ones going along with a lot of this. And you know what's interesting? I haven't heard a whole lot of local candidates talking about gas prices or talking about... Well, gas prices is the big one. Let's just start there. I don't hear a whole lot of local candidates in the 86th district race or the county commissioner race talking about gas prices, because to talk about the gas prices, you've got to talk against some members of your own party. And that's a hard thing to do because you don't want to alienate a certain group of people in your own party. Now, where's that going to go? I'm not exactly sure, but nobody likes the $5 gas prices. Let's put it that way. And if you spoke out against that, I can only think that that's going to help you. Now, are there people in your party that might turn on you? I guess it's a possibility. You never know. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, you're talking about they won't talk about the gas prices because they would have to speak about Trump.
I think so.
Jason Schauber made a post yesterday talking about gas prices, and he said, well, we can't, you know, do anything about what's going on. Okay, well, we can't control everything happening in the world. We can control how we run our county. We shouldn't be running a deficit. And he was talking about, you know, everyday costs keep going up. It puts pressures on family, makes every dollar matter that much more. So he went there.
Well, I give him credit for that. I didn't happen to see that post, but I give him credit because that's a very difficult thing to talk about right now. And I don't know what has happened in the last week that has caused this jump, but it's astronomical to see $4.99 as you drive down Route 95 for a gallon of gas. I don't ever recall, even during the Iraq war, when gas prices got rather high, I don't ever remember $5 a gallon.
No, gas was about $4, what I remember, slightly above, maybe $4.20-something. $4.29, isn't that? They normally do the nines. I'm thinking when I call him Baby Bush, when he was in office, because that was one of the times in my life that I was serving, and an entire paycheck could have been wiped out in the gas tank, because, you know, you get those $30 and $40 paychecks, and the gas is $5 a gallon. 6 gallons, it doesn't go too far.
No, and you know something, that...
Or $4 a gallon, I should say.
That bothers people. You know, people don't have to know anything about national politics to look at the gas price, because people fill up every day, and it's getting ready to be the season where people travel. And... you know, if you have a child at home that doesn't have a job, who's driving, who does errands for you and things of that nature,
Are you speaking of my wife?
Well, no, I don't. That's a lot of people's life. And,
yeah.
And that is a very, very stark situation for people. And I really don't know how it's going to affect the Republicans because, and I'm only saying Republicans because they're the party in power. Next Tuesday is a primary, so essentially Republicans will be voting for Republicans, so I don't know how much of a I don't know how much we'll see there, but
it'll be telling for Vivek, I think.
Well, that race is still going. That is fascinating to me because, again, I've always thought that Casey Putch would not get above 10%. Now, if he gets above 10%, and if his votes are coming from rural counties, I can only guess that that is because of some of the things that he has said. And if that is resonating with a group of people, I don't think it's going to get him past Ramaswamy on Tuesday, but it's going to cause a big problem for Ramaswamy in the fall.
To your point about people cutting back on their summertime activities, I actually saw a post on Facebook yesterday where someone was talking about the high gas prices and how they won't be traveling as much this summer or doing as many things. In my own family, we normally hit a concert or two every summer, and we won't be doing that this year just because of the price of everything. But they are looking to organize things around the local city parks for people, maybe one or two Saturdays a month or whatever day people can get together, even Thursday evening. You know, they're just throwing out examples. But, like, everybody brings a snack or something, and, you know, maybe you go off to the corner of the park and read your book, or I bring some beads and we make friendship bracelets, or we just let our kids play together, that sort of thing.
You know what I was thinking yesterday? This might benefit the Aquatic Center. Even though prices went up, people might not want to drive to Zumbezi Bay or the zoo. And if they don't, and it's a warm summer, the Aquatic Center could be very, very busy, busier than it normally is.
Yeah, but I hope that with the price of gasoline, though, that the people that were able to afford to go there in the past, I hope it doesn't limit their ability to go there now.
Well, yeah,
likely it will. I mean, I know I put gas in my vehicle the other day, and I think it was $135 to fill it up.
Well, and I want to say this, with just days left to go, I really do feel that Jason's got a tremendous shot in this commissioner race. Because
I believe so, too. I mean, obviously I'm a supporter of his, but I think with the way the votes split,
I think the vote split is going to benefit him, and I was sent some statistics the other day, not only on recent elections, but elections that have happened in the last 5 or 6 years, and I was combing back through those numbers, and Jason really did have his best showing in the last commissioner race just 2 years ago, and I can't imagine that he's alienated that 30% of the vote, and if he's able to get 30% of the vote in a four-person race, it's going to be very, very, very hard for one of those other candidates to garner more than 30% of the vote.
Well, and I believe that Jason, in my situation anyways, and in my family's situation, has been able to turn out voters that either don't typically vote in primaries, like they may be Republicans, my husband, or as Cody referred to him on Facebook, Cody's dragging me into the drama now.
I didn't.
He referred to him as my live-in boyfriend. So my live-in boyfriend of almost 19 years, his uncle, for example, is a solid Republican voter, but he doesn't typically vote in primaries. He is voting for Jason in this primary. My husband's aunt, who hasn't voted in 20 years, registered and is voting for Jason in this primary. We wouldn't typically vote in a Republican primary, but we voted in a Republican primary. So I think he will be able to draw some votes that the other ones won't. I think they'll be drawing from the same pool of voters.
Were you having a conversation about the primary?
Oh, no. Well, this is interesting. This is actually Cody's research. He got their primary financial filings, the campaign filings for the candidates.
Right.
And it was just showing who had made donations and how much they had made. And my family made a $500 donation to Jason. There was one check in the house, and it was in my live-in boyfriend, as Cody referred to him. It was in my live-in boyfriend's name, not on our joint account. So it was the only check in the house. It was probably 8 years old, if I had to guess. But it still worked. It was that, or I had to get up and actually go inside the bank, and I had a joke with Jason about that. I had to mentally prepare myself to be able to go inside the bank to do it. But so that was mentioned. Who is the live-in boyfriend of local firebrand Naomi Craig, and then he mentioned that Ayers Ratliff dad gave a former Democratic city councilman gave Jason money, and then that former Judge Edwards sent Jason $100. So Jason's been the big fundraiser of everybody compared to everyone else. Now, this is the interesting part, and this is Cody's hard work. I wonder how much he actually works at his job instead of his anonymous Facebook page. Christy Neff did not file any campaign financials at all.
Oh, well, what, you know, well, okay, let me, I'm trying to catch up on this.
There's a lot there, I know.
So why, I mean, that's, I guess I thought that page was in limbo at this point because
No, that's the Operation Kitty Diddler. They've all split now and gone onto their own pages.
Oh, okay.
Now that they realize they were hooked up with a sex offender. So Cody has his own page, the Swamp Fox, that he likes to post anonymously under because he's afraid people will dox him. He has no problem throwing other people's names out there. So if he's listening and he wants to go tit for tat, we can do that, buddy. We can do it.
You know,
if you want to just leave my name out of your mouth, we can go ahead and forget this ever happened.
So now I'm confused because, okay, so... So Cody,
he didn't list who else, who else gave, Philip Winslow. He didn't list the cousin of James Winslow, who was the author of, he didn't get into anybody else's who's who except for Jason's. You've got my live-in boyfriend. You've got Ayers' former Republican or former Democrat councilman dad. And you've got former Judge Edwards. And this over here, you've got John Boblins, Rich Ramey. I mean, I know who Rich Ramey works at Whirlpool. Why don't we put that on there? That from Stuyvesant. I just don't understand why he had to get into. Oh, wait a minute. Mooney claimed $200 in contributions, but since his report is missing the statement of contributions, the source and individual amounts of those contributions are unknown. So it sounds like to me that only Stuyvesant and Jason were able to pull out their paperwork so far.
Well, I guess the confusing thing here is now I. So
Jason had $3,300 worth of in-kind donations, and what that means is somebody donated, like, let's say, billboard space or stamps or envelopes or anything that's not money. Say they donated cookies to your fundraiser, which I don't think he had one, but if anything that anybody donates that's not money, called an in-kind donation. Jason got $3,300 of those. Cody didn't go through and list those.
So,
and that's significant. Nobody else has even had any in-kind donation.
So
because my name appeared in there, it needed listed.
So all of these people who were connected over there at that organization, Patriots or whatever it was.
Yes, they've all broken up.
They've all broken up, but mm-hmm. When they were together, they I think advertised as a lot of people coming together, but it was the same people who were running everything?
Yes.
So
Foreman, the unlawful sexual conduct with the minor guy, he started Operation Marion Watchman.
Okay.
Landon, I went back, he's been associated with it since like 2019.
Okay.
And then he dropped out when he screwed the city into six figures. So he stepped away from the public eye then. And then when you relaunched him, now we're all regretting that, when you relaunched him, he went back on the scene of that page. And when Cody thought he could get somewhere with that page, he joined with them, not realizing he's joining up with the sex offender and a charlatan. So now, the sex offender, the charlatan, and Cody have all broken up into their own pages, their own propaganda pages.
So, but when these pages all converged in the beginning, because nobody...
I'm their target, yes, I'm their favorite.
But nobody... ever really listed who was what or who is this?
No, because they love the anonymity because then they'll get on there and say all sorts of things that they would not say in real life. That's the thing about me. People can love me, they can hate me, whatever. I use my name on Facebook. I show up in person in public. I'm really me. I live in Marion, Ohio. Cody and this Jason guy do not. They live in Morrow County. I don't understand their interest in Marion politics so much, but I guess they've already made names for themselves in Morrow County, so they've got to come over here and be anonymous to be important. Robert Landon, I'm waiting for the state of Ohio to deal with him. But no, I don't understand any of it, and I don't understand why they won't leave me alone, but they are definitely picking a war they do not want.
Well, here's what I don't understand. And correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but Cody,
these are the people that make, for the listeners, these are the people that make memes of Mary Ellen Withrow with a blindfold on, and of Scott dressed like a clown, and that sort. This is the group of individuals, of quote-unquote journalists, that we're talking about.
You know, I've always felt that, you know, they had a problem with me. I don't know why. I don't know what that is, but God bless them. But here's what I never understood. Okay, because correct me if I'm wrong. When Cody was calling in here quite a bit, it seemed to me, I mean, didn't he say at one point that because of things that he had said publicly, he had gotten into some kind of kerfluffle with the America 250 group?
He believed that his activism got him removed from that group, yes.
Okay, so this would be a reason you would probably do something anonymously, I guess. I'm guessing. I don't know. I can't draw those lines perfectly, but it would seem to me that's probably why you would do something anonymously. I guess the problem is...
He ran a charter city page for the city of Marion, and when I was like, no, I'm not for the charter, he's like, well, you can't be a part of this page. I never wanted to be part of your page, but okay,
well,
my page writes away from me.
But I think... I've always thought... And I guess it's understandable to a certain degree that they might feel that there are repercussions at their work if they do these things. Now, it is hypocritical because they don't mind doing that to other people
right.
Who obviously places they work might see those things.
They don't mind doing, you know, I do have a son and I do try to somewhat keep him off of life publicly, but they've posted his, not Cody, but that group have posted his name and birth date and address and things like that publicly, and we're talking when he's 15 years old. So, you know.
Well, it's very unfortunate that it deteriorates into this, because I don't understand, if you're going to, that's one thing, if we publish something, a story, I have never felt ashamed about the story, no matter what it is, to say that, yes, I wrote that story, or yes, I published that story. And there are pictures, obviously, of me doing interviews all over the WGH page. So I think people realize, and I'm behind this microphone five days a week. So I never understood. You don't have to worry about saying who you are if you're not ashamed of the work you're doing.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, and on Cody's page, he's talking about how Ben Franklin used a pen name and things like that, and cancel culture and all of this sort of stuff. Well, if you're not saying anything that might not be controversial, I mean, you know, if putting the stuff out there, if that's information that people need to know, then why are you ashamed of it? I'm not ashamed of the things that I put out there, and I put some stuff out there that's caused some trouble. It's gotten people fired from jobs. It's gotten government investigations started. All kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if it's the news, it's the news, and I don't think that that's a problem. But if you're stretching back into the past just to smear somebody, that's not the news. And if you're not willing to say that you're the one who's doing it, I don't understand that. I don't get it, because you know, I remember
Different anonymous Facebook pages do you need to run in a city that you don't live before you get that no one cares what you say? Not enough people care what you say to stroke your ego, I guess.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem, I guess. I don't know the case with Foreman. I really have not looked into that. But anybody could make a story out of that and tie in the organizations and people who were affiliated with that. As we talked about the other morning, I don't think people should have to answer for who endorsed them, but apparently that's the world we live in now, because when certain people endorse Vivek Ramaswamy, he had to take ownership of that. and deal with that. So
if you don't embrace it, though, you don't have to own it.
No, but
so before you accept these partnerships or endorsements or whatever, see who it is that's endorsing you.
Well, that's it, and I think that's...
And then when white Christian nationalists come out and endorse you, you can say, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Well, that's the thing. Anybody could make a rather legitimate story about an organization in a current election endorsing candidates and a member of that organization having some ties to a very nefarious situation. Anybody could make that into a legitimate story. That's a legitimate story. Because it happened to Vivek Ramaswamy on in the governor's race. So, you know, nobody has done that yet with a few days left to go. I mean, nobody has come after the people they've endorsed, which apparently are Mrs. Neff and Mr. Mooney and Weslin and... I'm not sure who else, but those are the names I've heard.
If they felt that that endorsement was important enough, that should just, like, speak to itself. You know what I mean? If they consider that an endorsement, I saw some of the stuff that Christy Neff had endorsing her on her campaign stuff, and I swear she stopped her mailman and asked him if he would endorse her. Everybody and their brother you can think of, and people I've never even heard of. Well, why do I care what the guy at Sims Recycling has to say about the county commissioner?
Do people
really care about that?
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. That brings me back to my Ben Weber soliloquy this morning.
But do you care what this guy at Sims Brothers has to say?
No, and I think that's why endorsements have become a little bit sullied. I think there are endorsements that do matter, and then I think there are endorsements that don't matter. But the endorsement...
Jack Kellogg is an endorsement that matters.
And Tracy Richardson.
He's a beloved political figure by all in Marion County.
Yes, and Tracy Richardson, who currently holds that seat. That's why that matters. But other than that, I mean, unless you've got, like, the vice president endorsing you or the gubernatorial candidate... Or Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan would be significant.
Weslin's had some weird ones, too. Like, the former police chief from the 1990s from such and such township endorsed her. Who cares?
Well, it's just, it's so surprising. It really is, because, you know, everybody talks about Ben Weber's age. But when I had the conversation yesterday with the person who clearly is a Democrat, who knew his name, didn't have to ask, and complimented him on the campaign that he is running, I thought, well, maybe what I'm seeing and maybe what everybody else is telling me is not a figment of my imagination. Because I have had people who are not politically active at all say, Ben Weber's everywhere. I have said to people, how are you going to vote on Tuesday for Ben Weber? I say, what do you know about Ben? His signs are
not
everywhere.
Much.
No, his signs are everywhere. I've said, Christian called in last Friday morning and said he felt Ben would win about as large as Tracy won 2 years ago. And Christian certainly is not voting for Ben Weber.
I think he has a good shot of reaching those numbers. And I don't have local channels, as I told you, but on Facebook, he has sponsored ads now, and it popped up the other day, and I watched it, and it is very well done.
He's very effective.
Very high cinematography, very professional work. I mean, it's a state level, or it's a federal level.
Well, and his signs, and I will tell anybody to do this, send anybody down the boulevard. And don't tell them why you're sending them. Send them down the boulevard and then ask them, what political signs did you see? And I bet you they will say Ben Weber. I bet you they will not say anybody else.
Everybody else's signs, we had this conversation briefly, everybody else's signs are too similar to one another, so they're just not distinguishable.
White on that blue sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
And this person said it is one of the most effective campaigns that they have ever seen. And again, I think it's better than the campaign Tracy Richardson ran 2 years ago. So what I have to say about, and again, I think Weslin is very motivated. I think she's very driven, and those are not bad things. But I just think that two things happened with her. One, the divisiveness. We've talked about that. She's very divisive with a lot of people. You can't draw those lines. And number two, something has imploded in her campaign where she has to run, she's basically almost running a Facebook campaign now.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened.
Have you seen her recent, there was a very, very lengthy, I didn't even get through, I just scrolled finally just to see how much longer it went on, very lengthy post that she made, just kind of almost explaining every single attack that Weber, well, that she says that Weber has made, but I'm not really sure I've seen any attack ads by Weber.
Well, I just think it's problematic for her right now because, again, the people who like her were already going to vote for her, and I think those are the people who are responding to her. And she's not reaching any independents or any of the people in the Republican Party that she has offended, which are the Tracy Richardson group and the Jack Kellogg group. You know, Jack Kellogg even said it. When I asked Jack Kellogg, why'd you endorse Ben Weber? I like what he had to say. He came to visit me more than anybody else. And, you know, I'm not for the other person. I mean, that was one of the reasons. That's divisiveness. You know, when in your reasoning for endorsing and voting for somebody, one of the reasons is you don't like some of the things the other person has done. You know, that's what divisiveness is. That's what I'm talking about.
And I voted for Ben Weber to cancel out one of those Wesleyan Davis votes that are floating around out there.
Now, from one of the listeners this morning who's out there listening, guess Wesleyan didn't put that $250,000 loan to good use on her campaign. LOL.
Speaking of that, Tim Mooney loaned himself a decent amount of money. And I was surprised about that. I was really surprised back to Christy Neff that she had those issues already with Pam Larkin's campaign when she was the treasurer and being ignorant of the rules and such. And does she struggle that badly with, I mean, because those are hard deadlines when it comes to campaign finance that you have to file by those dates, you know, or explain why. And she didn't. And I know she's made expenditures because I see her face on billboards and I see signages around. And, I mean, even if you pay for the campaign 100% yourself, like we found out in Wesleyan's situation, you've got to loan yourself the money or give yourself the money on paper. So you have to document where this money's coming from, and she doesn't. But,
you know,
well, I guess Mooney did run the last time, didn't he?
He did. Well, I've got a question here. Okay, now, if Jason Schauber's money is such an issue, which is where we started this morning,
mm-hmm.
that it denotes a story, apparently, then...
Jason brought forward $88 from his last campaign.
Okay.
Mooney brought forward $8,900, and Stuyvesant brought $6,700.
So, if that's a story, then why wasn't Wesleyan's $250,000 a story?
Because well, that was a blackmail.
Yes. So I guess I'm confused on, I mean, what's the difference?
Why is the Christy Neff, the fact that Christy Neff didn't file campaign finance stuff yet again, why is that not a story? Why is it a story that my live-in boyfriend, there's a check with his name attached to it? Why is that a story? I mean, it's public record, so it's not like we were trying to do anything sneaky or hiding.
So are they trying to smear?
I'm not mad that it's posted, but I don't understand why that matters.
Well, what's his beef with you?
I guess because I busted out that he hangs out with pedophiles? I don't know. Well, I guess.
I mean, is that...
But it's not one you want, Cody, if you're listening. I'll tell you that right now, buddy.
Well,
it's not one you want. Let it go.
Well, I mean, you and he were fair. I think you would have called him a friend.
We were friends. He came to see my son sing at the popcorn festival. And I don't understand. Like I said, he chose to go hang with the popular kids, and that's fine. I don't care. We don't have to be friends. My feelings aren't hurt about that. But he's turned this personal, and I'm not cool with that. And if he wants to turn it personal, I will make sure it gets very, very personal. Very personal.
Well, I would just say this. I would say that as...
Painfully personal.
Well, I think, I don't know...
Leave my kid out of it, Spears. You start bringing my kid or my family in general into stuff, and you will regret the day you laid eyes on me.
Well, the first time I remember hearing about Cody in the political world was when he ran for River Valley School Board. And that got very, very ugly. And the people in River Valley, the River Valley area, got very unhappy with him, and he did not win a seat on the board. And at that time, I remember some people being very, very unhappy with
him. Well, we might form a club.
Well, I think, you know, you're allowed to say anything.
Just leave me alone. All I want is just left alone. He does not need to bring me into any of his drama. I've not brought him into anything, but I will.
Well, why? I guess my point is, coming after you at this point? I mean, you've said what you've said. Okay. You've said.
I don't know.
What's the big deal?
I don't know. I don't know why these people, why they give me so much power in their lives. And I really don't care what they say about me. I mean, I've been called much, much worse by much, much better. But when you start involving my family, that's when people will incite a side of me that you do not want to engage. I will do nothing. I will lay awake at night thinking about ways to make you regret your existence.
Well,
and yes, I am that person. I don't care what people are sitting and thinking about me right now. Leave me alone. Don't start none. There won't be none. When you start it, you will wish you never had.
Well, it's unfortunate that people have done this now. So, but you feel it all relates back to them being attached to Mr. Foreman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I don't understand why they would go to such lengths to protect someone who had sex with a child. But I think that should speak to their character more than it does mine.
Well, there we go. Hey, we got a break coming up. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right, we'll be back after this.
4495, webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Not completing high school is more of a